Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Hey, all you best people I know out there, loving us. Yes, we are so the best people we know. We have to be. Because I'm telling you, the world needs us to share our shine. And we have a guest today that's going to help you do that, starting up a business. How cool is that? I know a lot of you listen. You're entrepreneurs, you're coaches, or you want to start a business. And this is going to be a great show for you. You can call in and speak with our guest live at 347-637-1318, 347-637-1318. Yes, okay, it's Monday. Oh, yes, it's Monday and it's a new month, and it's going to be a great week. Where, can you believe it's already October? I just don't know where the summer went. Every year, of course, it seems to be going by faster. I don't know if that happens for you, but I'll tell you, squeeze the juice out of the day in every way because, you know, we're not, none of us are staying. That is one thing we have in common. So we have to do the best we can with all the talents that we're given, and I think that a lot of you need to start a business. So this is going to be the show for you or for a friend. I just wanted to remind you that if you're new to the family or you're a regular on the family, if you go to my website, greensky and bluegrass.com, greenskyandbluegrass.com, there's a little green box on the right-hand side. And if you sign up for the monthly Motivation Mind Vitamin newsletter, you'll get a list of all our great guests for the month, and that way you know what's happening. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, download us to your mobile device, take us at the gym and wherever you're going where you need a little boost of inspiration to keep you focused on your great goals. So, okay, starting a business. So if you want to learn how to start up a business from the ground up, then this is the show for you because Cynthia Kaskowski is going to, is best-selling author of Practical Insights for Transforming an Idea into a Business, Starting a Business from the Ground Up. So she has been personally involved in more than 24 startup companies and business units. And many of these startups were stellar successes of the high-tech industry, and others were the failures that closed without any fanfare at all. After that, many startups, Cynthia has seen the works, what doesn't work, and much of the day-to-day humor that happens in these startup of companies. And you got to have a mentor that has a good sense of humor, because if you don't enjoy the process, you're not going to finish it. Cynthia started her career at IBM as a systems engineer, and she later worked in diverse roles at IBM as a design engineer and manager. She was also a technical marketing and business development manager. And then Cynthia was the general manager of Matrox Electronics, where she managed several products and developed a number of groups for them. So for the past 15 years, she's been involved in high-tech startup companies. And she also founded the Vesta Corporation, a specialized telecom software provider, and a semiconductor company. Cynthia has worked with many startups and has served as a member of technical advisory boards. Her recent role was COO for a medical consumer technology company, was a service and startup there. And her latest book, you can also find How to Start Up a Business. And we're going to bring her on live now. And Cynthia, are you there? We're so happy to have you today.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, you know, I think a lot of people, I love what you talk about. I love what you're doing because I think a lot of people today, one of the good things coming out of the bad economy, I guess, is that people are saying, hey, if I don't have a job, I've had this idea, I've got to find something to do, and I'm getting a lot of information from people that they're starting their businesses now because the timing and the environment seems to be right for them to try something new. But this is what you do for a living. You help people do this. So, you know, I think that it's something that a lot of people are excited to learn about, and maybe you can just start out with what inspired you to actually put this into writing.
What inspired me was some friends and colleagues of mine. I was having lunch, and over a period of a very short period, about a month, several people mentioned to me that I should write a book. And I kept on thinking to myself, what would I write a book about, you know? And then I realized at some point in time that usually when I go out to lunch with people, that they want to hear about the startups I've been in. They just find the stories, you know, it's like anything, like find the stories amusing, because the inside perspective is completely different than the perspective that you see from the press or from the outside. I mean, you think things run really smoothly from the outside, but they don't. I mean, from the inside perspective, it's like, you know, it's like all the hiccups, all like the 10 steps back for the one step forward. I mean, these really big, obvious, glaring things that you miss that in retrospect are just the whole situation is humorous. So that's actually what inspired me to write the book. And what I see through startup companies very often is the same mistakes being made over and over and over again.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the idea that there's a need for something, you know, people want information, but they want information that they can use and apply in their life. And, you know, it's one thing to tell somebody to do something, but it's another thing to know how to put it in an equation, a recipe, a formula, whatever word you want to use, any adjective, so that they can do it in their own life. Now, if somebody's listening and they're thinking, okay, Cynthia wrote this book, people are asking her about it, this is what she's done, she knows the pitfalls, she knows, you know, the good things that you need to do, she knows the behind-the-scenes stuff, as you just mentioned. So, you know, for somebody that's feeling, okay, that's great for her, but I am overwhelmed right now, I don't know, you know, where I should even begin, where do they start?
Well, the first, if you're talking about just starting out, the very first place you should start is try talking to whatever set of customers you think you're going to have. And the reason that I say that is almost all businesses solve a problem for the customer somewhere, somehow. And so you have to be something to somebody in order to survive in the business world. Too many times, what happens is a lot of times people start startup companies and never talk to the customer. You know, it's like their own personal opinion that this would be a really great thing to do and all these customers are going to love it, when the customers just don't care. So the very first thing you should do is literally go out and talk to some customers that you think are going to be your target customers. One of the things I've learned over the years in startup companies is that 99% of the time, whatever it is you think your product is going to be, isn't. Most of the time, what you think it is isn't going to work, and it's a variation of it. But once people get into the process, and they really start getting into the process of starting a company, they really start to be overwhelmed. One of the problems I find is there's too much of a do-it-yourself attitude. They try to take on everything themselves. And you just can't do every aspect of a company yourself. And so to start off with, the things an entrepreneur should really think about is they should automate whatever it is they think they can automate. Computers are cheap. They're great employees. They work 24/7, 365. So anything that can be automated, automate it. Any task that isn't really getting you towards your interim milestones or your goals, don't do it. And then outsource wherever you can. There's a lot of things that entrepreneurs tend to do themselves because they either think they're saving money or they're save time, which they never do. You should outsource this. If you're a lawyer, you shouldn't be doing your own website. You can hire somebody to do your website for, you know, for very little money. The amount of time it's going to take you to read a 400-page manual and learn software and everything is, like, enormous compared to just hiring somebody. So basically, automate, eliminate, and outsource.
Automate, eliminate, and outsource. Okay, everybody, write down those three words. That those are the tips for the day. That's the sticky note that goes on the mirror. You know, it's interesting to hear you say to say this, because I had Gene Newell on the show a few weeks ago, or I guess, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago. People can go to the archives and find it on iTunes. But, you know, she started a business. She was a realtor, and the real estate market tumbled, and then she went ahead and was working in the office, and everybody wanted these packets or like pouches, personal pouches to put things in for organization because of the insanity. It was so busy. And anyway, she made these personal utility pouches, bags, for her office, and then everybody wanted them, and then she ended up outsourcing it, creating it, making it, getting prototypes. Gosh, she's been on QVC. She sold thousands and thousands of these things. Now she's working, because she's in Florida with NASA, helping them start out reinventing themselves in a new career or starting up a business similar to what you do. But it was interesting that you said at the beginning of the show, this business idea that you have may not be exactly the way that it unfolds, but, you know, if you do the next right thing and follow the steps that I know you have in your book, or, you know, somebody like Gene, it actually gets its own momentum, doesn't it? I mean, don't the customers tell you what they want and how they want it?
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, one of the biggest missteps that entrepreneurs make is not talking to the customer. It's like they squirrel away in, you know, if you want to say the proverbial garage, making some particular device or some, you know, cool, you know, gadget. And then they bring it out to the world and they say, hey, look, buy it. And that's just a big mistake. You really need to have customer input, you know, to understand what it is customers want, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get that by hiding away in your office, you know, or in your garage or wherever and doing it without any customer input. You really do need the customers involved in the process and involved early.
Yeah, and you know, I think that your book even applies if even for some authors, because looking at the details of how you describe the how-tos of doing things, your philosophy is so relevant to even people. I mean, I had Jane Friedman on the show, who was trying to think what she was like editor for Writer's Digest. Who doesn't know Writer's Digest? And one of the things that she was talking about was you really have to have the author platform, even sometimes or most of the time, before you even write the book, you know? So what you're saying can really be applied in so many different venues. And I think it gets down to the marketing, and you talk a lot about that, Cynthia. Can you share some marketing advice? You know, somebody's taken the first step. You know, they have your book, of course, and then they have an idea. They've done their market research. Maybe they've, you know, gotten on social media, pulled their Facebook. They've asked the question and then taken another question from that question. They've really spiraled it down into specifics so that they have a niche market. Maybe they've used SurveyMonkey. Maybe they've done whatever they've done that you suggest to get a real grasp on what their end user needs and what that's going to look like so that they can take their idea and manifest it into a product. They need to do the marketing. Talk to us about that, because you have some great advice for new business owners.
Okay, marketing, you know, the thing about high-tech companies is that the principles on which, you know, a high-tech company is founded is no different than any small business or any large business. They're all pretty much the same. So it's not like some people tend to think high-tech companies are so different than mine because I'm just a little small business. That's not true. And one of the things about high-tech companies that's very obvious to anybody who's been through many of them and investors is that the first stumbling point of a high-tech company is marketing. It's not the product. No high-tech company has failed because they couldn't produce the product. It's the same way if you talk about books. There is no such thing as somebody who's a writer not being able to produce the book. Okay, they are capable of writing the book. Where the first stumbling point comes is the marketing, because that's a big effort. And probably one of the first things entrepreneurs don't realize is how big of an effort marketing is. Marketing takes typically about twice as much effort and time as it does to develop the product.
I want to pause there. I want to pause there because I think this is so powerful what you just said. People think it's all about, you know, getting the product, writing the book, but, you know, really, that's not even half the battle. Really, what you just said is something that we have to accept and understand and embrace, because you can have the best product in the world, but if nobody knows that it's there, it's not gonna sell. You're not gonna help anybody. It's not gonna do what it's supposed to. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just thought that that was so important for people to realize what you said about how much time people listening today, or if you're working with somebody and sharing the show with a friend, you need to realize what Cynthia just said, because the marketing is the key. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, just that was so good what you said. I just loved it.
Now, I'll actually add to that something. Here's something that's very interesting is that, you know, in Silicon Valley, it's the heart of the venture capital industry and, you know, the heart of, like, a lot of the high-tech companies. And, you know, investors have this thing called the slide deck. And the slide deck, one of the things they talk about is what things are important to an investor. And the thing that's always very shocking to first-time entrepreneurs is when the investors write down all the things that an early-stage company has to do, and they weight it, like, what, how important is this to their decision to invest? It turns out that the product is only 10% of the decision.
Oh, 10% of the decision.
10%.
That is unbelievable.
10%, because it's not about the product. It's truly not about the product. And if you think about all those dumb ideas out there, we're talking like the Pet Rock that sold amazingly well, you know.
Crazy.
It's not about the product. It's about the, it's, you know, it's a business. It's about the everything else that wraps around the product. That's what makes it a success. You know, if you, I always equate it to the, my analogy is this, that the product is like the heart to a human being. Like, a heart doesn't make a human being. It's just, it's the core. It's necessary. It's critical, just like the product is. But what makes a human being is, you know, 90% is the everything else wrapped around the heart, and that's kind of what the product is to a company.
Mm. And, you know, really what I'm hearing you say is people are buying what the product makes them feel like, or what they, what the product is associated with. You know, it's that feeling of, you know, if I buy this product, I'm going to feel, you know, X, Y, or Z. There's a lot of emotion attached to the success of buying a product, right? And isn't that part of that marketing, that feeling, that emotion, that association that we have with whatever it is we're buying or reading or doing?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, emotion, how somebody feels about the product, or how somebody even feels about the company, because if you have, like, if you're a direct sales type product where, like, you have a direct sales force who comes in,
mm-hmm.
And tries to sell the product, or you have some type of phone, you know, people actually interact with a phone order system, how they feel about the product and about the company just from interacting, you know, with the sales force means a good, you know, amount of the sales. People buy that which is familiar to them. And that's just the reality of life. And so in terms of marketing, people need to realize they need to start marketing as soon as possible. The earlier, the better, because it does take so long to build that familiarity among the customer base. Because even if a product is technically superior, what studies have shown is people will still buy the inferior product that they're familiar with. And so building that familiarity with a customer just takes time. And then you, and a lot of people say, well, how do I do that? You know, my product's not available yet. And that's true. But one way you can start doing that is start talking about the problem. Because anybody who's willing to buy a product from a startup company is usually somebody who's a desperate buyer, desperate for a solution to a problem that they've been trying to solve for quite some time. And they are going to be searching for an answer because misery loves company. So if you're talking about the problem, they will find you. And if you talk about the problem ahead of time before the product is ready, then by the time your product is ready, you've already created that familiarity. Plus, you've also created the sense that you're like the go-to expert, you know, in that area.
You know, you remind me so much. I keep thinking, gosh, everything, it's just, I'm connecting all these dots listening to you because you bring so much talent and expertise to the topic. But I had a CEO of Precise Selling on the show last year, Brian Sullivan, and he said exactly what you just stated. If you want to be successful in sales, you've got to ask a lot of questions. Ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. So you're really sharing with us today, the listeners, that one of the things we can do to get successful marketing started, even before we have the product, is to pump up the conversation. Ask people, what's the problem? Hey, how would your life be if you had this product? Or, you know, what are you dealing with? What's something that's really driving you crazy that you wish somebody could fix for you? You know, you're telling us to ask questions and engage in dialogue. And that's a real non-threatening you and me against the problem cooperative relationship that's being built, isn't it? Which is also another thing, because I truly believe I was in medical sales for 20 years, and I truly believe that people buy from people they like, but most of all, from people that they trust.
Right, right. And that's more like, that's more an emotional buying versus an analytical buying. And even in, and if you think about analytical buying or an empirical buying where they actually want to weigh, like, you know, the pros and the cons, would you think more of a business-to-business product versus a business-to-consumer product? And consumers definitely are more emotional. But even in a business-to-business product, I can tell you when I used to work for IBM, if I got a bad feeling from a company or people who came in because I didn't trust them, I wouldn't do business with them no matter what, because somehow, some way, we were going to end up on the bad end of a deal. And it had nothing to do with, like, anything they said. It wasn't a pro or a con thing. It was just, I just got this bad feeling from talking to their salespeople. So emotions and trust and all of those things come into play regardless of whether you're selling to a business or you're selling to a consumer.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the time, and I want to make sure that we cover some of the other points in the book. So let's just talk a little bit more about some of those analytical things, because, you know, people really do need to get into the nuts and bolts of finances. If you don't have a lot of money, you know, how, it's like that catch-22, the chicken and the egg thing. How do you get going on your startup if you don't have a lot of money? What do I need to know? And, you know, and your book will help someone go through those things, but can you give us a few pearls of wisdom that you want to share with listeners about that stuff?
The few pearls, if you happen to be looking for money, I would say this. The vast, an interesting statistic that I, the research firms do for, like, startup companies, think about IPOs. You think about the Googles and the Amazons and the eBays out there that were venture-backed, so they were investor-backed companies that went public. An interesting statistic that they've kept over the past 30 years is only 40% of companies that go IPO have been investor-backed. The other 60% haven't. So it is possible, and odds are that you are going to be, you could go IPO without ever taking, having an investor. That's perfect. I know people who build billion-dollar companies and never had an investor. So it's not the fact that you have to have money in order to get going. A lot of people will tell you that capital is the number one reason that companies fail, and I would disagree with that, because if that were true, then the venture capitalists would have a fabulous track record of success because money is no object to them. And that's not true. Most of their companies fail. One of the things about, if you are looking for funding, you have to realize that the product is only 10% of the equation. So stop talking about the product. What investors really want to know about is the business. And even if you're not looking for funding, it's probably a really good idea to look at the investor perspective, because most investors have literally seen thousands and thousands of companies, and they recognize really quickly what works and what doesn't work. And they can pretty much tell a strategy from an entrepreneur and say, well, that's not going to work.
And, you know, in reading so many of the reviews, and you have so many, and, I mean, your book is really doing great. I know on Amazon the reviews are amazing. But it seems to me, as I go through those reviews, that people love your book, love the content of the message, is because, you know, well, I don't have to look at this big company startup model. I need to focus on how I'm going to think first about creating the business. And you give a lot of examples. It seems to me that people appreciate what you have to say because you give a lot of examples of how to do it, but also you really give people a new way of thinking, you know, and it's all about those basics. And I think there's a reason why people say that KISS technique is lasting through today, because keeping it simple and getting down to the basics, if you have the system, if you have that equation, then you can basically translate it into any language or any size business. But it seems to me that that's what people really like about your book. Did you want to comment on that? Because I want readers to get a feel for what they can expect as you help them build their dream and make it come true.
Right. When I wrote the book, one of the things I wanted to do is try to keep it into, like you said, basic steps. I think most people, when they think about startup companies, one of the things a lot of people do is they go out to the library and they get a book on how to write a business plan. That's a perfect example of it. And I am just, like, not an advocate of business plans on day one of a company. And the reason is because most business plan textbooks are written for large corporations. It's when a large corporation is starting a new division about a product. And they go through these very complicated things that you're supposed to consider when you're starting a company. And entrepreneurs don't do that. They need to keep it down. The business plan needs to be extremely simple, like figure out what are you going to make and how you're going to make money. And so I go into this thing called a concept plan, which is the kind of a precursor of a business plan, which says, like, keep it simple, strip the business planning down to, like, the bare minimum you need to do. Okay, and then once you get through that phase and you've learned about what the customers do, what the product is going to do, what your business model is going to do and how it's working, and you've kind of worked out the basics of how it's going to work, then you can go ahead and write the business plan when you have that information. But there's no point, for example, up front in writing a business plan that's a work of fiction, that's a novel. What's the point of having one of those? Yet so many entrepreneurs go down that path.
Yeah. I want to make sure that I address, we have a caller that's been waiting on the line. So do you mind if we just pause for a moment to take a call? Okay, so 908, you are on the line. And go ahead and ask Cynthia your question. Thanks for calling. Hello, 908-296. Okay, I think I had them on hold too long, Cynthia, but you were on such a good roll there. I'm sorry. Just give us a call back in there. That's the only thing. I love, the call is great, but sometimes it's like you want to finish that thought as well. Getting back to what you said and that equation that you talked about, bringing it down to the basics, can you share a story? Because I know you have many, because you work and you also do some mentoring and coaching and speaking on this, so people can also connect with you, to learn or how to have somebody help you do this is obviously the ideal. If you can afford it, that's the best way to do it. So maybe give us an example, but before you do that, can you tell people how to connect with you, your website, your contact information, and so forth?
Okay, well, I have a couple of different websites. You can connect with me on their website, which is under my own name, which is Cynthia Kochalski, which is CynthiaKochalski.com. Or there's also startupfromthegroundup.com, which is one word. That's another website you can do. Or Facebook, and the actual fan page is Startup From The Ground Up.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, because people are going to want to connect with you, and we have a lot of listeners on iTunes. Actually, most of the listeners come from iTunes. But go ahead and give a quick story, because I think that people need to know that they too, if you're listening and you think it's impossible, hey, other people can do it, you can do it too. What makes them so great? But you can't win if you don't begin. And that's what Cynthia's expertise is about. And if you have a need, if you have a dream, if you have a desire, if you have a solution to someone's problem, if you have the problem, chances are somebody else has it too. It's like the question in the classroom for the teacher. If someone's, raising their hand and has the question, there's probably 10 other people in the room thinking the same question. So give us some inspiration. Tell us a real-time story, one of the things that really will inspire listeners.
One of the things I was thinking of inspiring listeners for is that there is somebody out there. If you're looking for funding and you have the type of project that requires funding, which is pretty much any project, they are out there. It's just a matter of finding the right investors. So many entrepreneurs think that they have to have funding, and they don't really, but if you want to get funding, you can actually find people through accountants or lawyers. What you're looking for is people who also have a passion for your particular product. If you happen to be doing a product about sports, I'm telling you, there's somebody out there whose kids are in sports that will fund you. There is somebody. Too many people want to start off with the institutional investors, and that usually doesn't work. So don't, because they're going to be looking for the big plays, and they're going to be looking for a company that's already said that they have an established track record. One of the things you never do when you go to an investor or you go to a customer is to start telling them about your company, because what they really want to hear about is the problem first. And then they don't want to about the company because, if you got a sales call, they don't really care you've been in business for 15 years. They care about how you can solve their problem.
Yeah, it really is about solving problems. People don't want to have the problem because what is the problem? Every time I think of a problem, I think of pain and suffering. And, people want solutions to problems because you feel better. Your life is better. And, the idea that you should keep this passion of starting a business to yourself is all wrong, because without people that had passions and ideas to start their own businesses, most of the technology we have today, even the light bulb, you can't really think of anything that we use today that wasn't somebody's vision of a solution to a problem or a way to improve upon the life, the lifestyle that we live, to make it better and more efficient. And I think that's the beauty of what you do. That's the beauty of your book. That's the beauty of your wisdom. And it's interesting because in listening to your story, it was like all your friends, you found out that you should be writing this book because your friends were like, hey, I want to know what you know, Cynthia. Tell us all this experience that you have from IBM and all these companies and all these startups you've helped. We want to hear about that. We want to know how to do it too. So it really is just, looking at it with some common sense, basic questions, right? It seems to me that your success has really just been doing what you know, what you love, and what you enjoy speaking about.
Right, absolutely. And one of the things I like to say to entrepreneurs is getting started, and one of the things that almost every entrepreneur who gets started will tell you is that the very early years, you will spend most of your time networking and talking to other people and talking to customers, possible advisors, possible mentors, you name it. And I'll give you a perfect example. One of my early companies that I did is I knew we had needed to start, we were going to start a company, so I went and I actually contacted a whole bunch of companies who I thought, would be ideal people to be interested in our product or maybe investing. And one of them, one of the presidents of one of these companies actually called, I think it was the president of Micron at the time, who called and said, we're not really interested in this product very much or investing in this company, but I know the president of another company who would be. And he goes, if you don't mind, I want to call him on your behalf and tell him about your company. And we did, and that was eventually the person who invested in us.
Unbelievable. What a great – okay, everybody, are you listening? Did you just hear what Cynthia said? The person that they went to for the support wasn't the end user, but they knew who was interested in working with them on that company. So you never know – as I always say, you don't know what you don't know. But if you're not out there talking to people, meeting people, letting them know who you are and what you do in the right way, of course, you don't want to be arrogant, but you have to you have to be excited about doing your own self-promotion, because nobody else is going to get excited about your product if you're not excited about it. But you never know who you talk to may lead to the other person, may lead to another person. I mean, that's a great story. I'm so glad you shared that. It's just amazing. So people really need to, as they get, and that's, I know you do talk about this in your book, but it is that mindset. You have to let go of being attached to the success only, if I do A, B, C. You have to be open to realize that your greatest success may be a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left of what you've actually targeted, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things I'd like to say is that for startup companies, it usually is to the left or to the right. Most people come out when they start a company, they usually have a background in working for a larger company, and it's a larger established company, no less. And so they try to do a startup just like when they were inside a large company. You know, if you think about a large company, a lot of times it's very serial. First they develop the product, and then they do the marketing, then they do the sales. Well, they can afford to do that because they already have a customer base. I'll give you a perfect example of this. I can think of two startup companies. Like one of them, you know, this is was trying to do the initial customer input. Like they're thinking of a product, they weren't really sure it was going to work. They thought of who their target customers were, and so what the marketing guy did is he would go to these smaller conferences, not the large ones, the smaller ones, and he would actually go and get a hold of the attendee list ahead of time, and they were willing to give it to him and said, it's not a problem, it's a small, fairly small to mid-sized conference. And then he'd look up the names, and he would target the people he wanted to talk to. And he'd think, okay, well, it's a pretty big conference. How do you get it? You know, how do you find these people? He said, everybody goes to the bathroom. So he literally...
That's so funny.
He'd make sure the conference was a fairly confined one. They had one or two bathrooms, and he literally would station himself by the bathroom, and he'd read the name tags going in and out of the bathroom. And when he found the guy or the person coming in and out of the bathroom that he wanted to talk to, you know, he would sit there and he'd go, oh, hi, and introduce himself as they're walking back to the meeting rooms and tell them about the product.
That is too funny. But, hey, you know what? Creativity. I think the bottom line is that if, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And your book is just filled with great ideas. So, you know, that one's pretty funny, though, I have to admit. I think that. But, hey, you know, there's lots of people out there in the world. Think of all the millions and millions and billions of people. I mean, you know, there's somebody out there that you can connect with that wants what you have, that will share your vision. And it's just... You know, it's fun, it's exciting, it's possible, but, you know, people do need those practical tips. They need the practical how-tos, and how to start up a business from the ground up is certainly a practical business creation map, I think, for people to get and to read and to connect with you. But I just love this topic, Cynthia, because I really do think that as bad as, you know, people talk about the economy and layoffs and it breaks my heart and, hey, listen, I've had my own personal stories like everybody else, but I think the good things that comes out of that, because people don't change because they see the light, they change because they feel the heat, and I think that the heat of these economic times is creating people to step out into their greatness and start a business, which they might not otherwise be doing. So that's the silver lining and the star in the sky that I like to see, and I know that you're helping people, you know, make their dreams come true and make these things possible. So before we go, because we're out of time, just how to connect with you one more time and, you know, a final word for the day and just thanking you so much for sharing your shine with us.
So you can go to startupfromthegroundup.com, that's one word, or facebook.com and the fan page is Startup From The Ground Up. Or I also have one under my name, which is Cynthia Kotowski, which is CYNTHIA KOCIALSKI.com.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, parting word, favorite quote, any idea, action plan, what somebody can do today that's listening that, you know, wants to just take their first step. Personally, I think listening to the show and listening to you is their first step, but something that you just want people to take away.
What I want people to take away is like the concept that it's not about the product. So even though if you have a product and you're not very sure whether it's something that's going to fly, just remember that you're building a business, not a product, and you have to build a business with as much as intent and as designing the business as you do a product. And so you have to realize if it's not a great product, it doesn't matter, because there are a lot of dumb ideas that have succeeded very well out there.
Oh, my gosh, I know, and you were so funny with the pet rock. I remember that so well. Yeah, so really building the business is like building a bridge, and once you build the bridge, you can bring whatever you want over the bridge. You can bring as many products as you want, but building the bridge, you got to have that bridge. You got to have that business, and then the products can be, you know, the product almost seems like it's not the top thing, you know, in listening to you, and that gives us a lot of hope. But so many people with so many great ideas, and Cynthia, you're helping so many people, you know, reinvent themselves and take this step, and just thank you so much. And your book is great. I know it's just doing fabulous on Amazon rankings, and I think people will enjoy it as well. And connecting with you, you're available and around, and I think this is the end of your book tour coming up, but you know, there's a lot of great ways to connect with you, so I'm encouraging everybody to connect with Cynthia on her website, or on her book, Facebook, LinkedIn, anywhere you can find, because the world needs good mentors. You can't learn, you can't make all the mistakes in life yourself, as Eleanor Roosevelt says. You have to learn from other people, and Cynthia is definitely somebody you want to learn from. So thanking Cynthia for being on the show today, and thanking you for listening. If you're not here listening, we can't have a show. We're over 27,000 listeners now in a year. I can't believe it. It blows my mind. But I love being here with you every week, and I appreciate you, you know, leaving the comments, rating us on iTunes, sharing the show with a friend. It's really a lot of fun. We grow together. We help each other together, and that's what it's all about. So I hope you go to my website, Green Sky and Bluegrass. Make sure you get your monthly Mind Vitamin newsletter so you can keep up to date with all our fabulous guests. And in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, remember to be yourself, because everybody else is already taken.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.